Hi, my name is Wendy Blight, and welcome to our Rest for Your Soul podcast series. And what we're talking about today is the title of my first chapter of Rest for Your Soul is What's Wrong with Me? Because that's how I felt. And if you're listening, you're in the right place. If you're trying to figure out what is going on with you, things are going on in your life that don't make sense and you don't know why. So what's wrong with me? Specifically as it relates to anxiety and feeling very overwhelmed and unsettled. And it blesses me deeply to have the guest I have today. Her name is Rebecca Woodman, and she was a friend before she was a counselor, but she is the counselor who walked me through this journey with anxiety. And I wanted her to come today because she played a key role in teaching me how to overcome that. And so she is delightful. She's hilarious. One of the funniest people I know. She's a mom of the Blonterage, and she can tell you more about that. And also a precious, precious little boy that's new to their family. And you'll learn more about all of this. But Rebecca Woodman, thank you so much. And tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thanks, Wendy. Yes. So I'm married to my favorite Canadian, John. He goes by a lot of different names, but Johnny is who he is to me. My favorite Canadian. And then we have what we affectionately term the Blonterage, as she said. And the craziest part is that currently we have a senior in high school and a kindergartner. So I feel like I am spreading the full gamut right now. And then we actually had two stillborns, which we can talk about later if we need to. But and then we adopted our son Justice, and with there when he was born, and just feel real passionate since then about adoption and just the tug of the heart. So yeah. What else? Do you want to know anything else?
No, that was great. I think people, it's just fun to know about your family and who you are. So thank
well, they're
you.
Very, we always have to tell people our hashtag is Woodman Crazy because we're loud. And
we experienced it a little of it when we sat with your family at a wedding. So it was great. It was great fun. It was very entertaining.
Yeah, entertaining.
I loved it. I loved it. So one of the things I open Rest for Your Soul, just sharing about how I was struggling with anxiety that felt normal at first and then got way beyond normal, and was actually encouraged at my physical when I went to see my doctor to know, yeah, you're right. This is beyond normal anxiety, and here's different ways that we can have a solution for that. And I was in a place where I've done all the Christian things that I knew how to do, praying and saying scripture and begging God. And I finally got to the point after my doctor spoke those words to me, and I wrote this. I have my journal. If you can see this, it's the journal that I walked through with Rebecca. But thanks to that appointment, I spoke these words: "I need help, Father." Mm. And I wrote them, and I called him Father because I was like it's not God. I want my Father to come. My heavenly Father to come and help me. And though we knew each other, we were friends. And I remember walking into your office terrified because I had never committed to any kind of counseling before. And I felt like a failure, honestly, because I'm a Bible teacher. I work at Proverbs 31 Ministries. I'm the theology person here that people come to. I used to speak. And what is wrong with me that I can't fix all these things by myself? But you were so welcoming. And at the end of our first session, Rebecca, you said some things. And I know you kind of talk a little bit later about how you don't remember them, but you said, Wendy, one, God is sitting you down to do a work in you, not through you.
That's right.
Because you're used to people, you're used to letting God work through you to help other people.
That's
so that
right.
meant a lot. You said you don't feel emotionally safe, and things feel out of control, but remember God is safe and good. Your insulation is thin right now, and surrender your abilities. You can't be all things to all people. So those are some of the things, these are things all she said the first day, y'all. And then she asked me, why do you have to be so strong? And that took me aback because I'm like, I don't, do I? And then these are the things that you, then at the end of, this is all in one appointment. And at the end, she gave me assignments for each day. And I took them very seriously. One, do one thing that cares for yourself, which I hadn't really been doing. One thing to stretch yourself, in other words, push yourself outside your comfort zone. Two, don't cocoon. And finally, be mindful of my limitations. So those are it's so important. I know we don't have time to talk about all of them, but would you just share some of the things, why you said those things?
Yeah. First of all, I just want to say it's wild. I was telling Wendy, I've never in 20 plus years of counseling had a client say, not only do I want you to disclose who I am, but I also want you to tell people everything that I said and you said. So thank you for that permission.
So I give permission.
Yeah, thanks for that. So I just would say that I remember, Wendy, when you came in, you were so frail would be the word that I would use. And I could sense, like, thank you, Holy Spirit. Like, I could sense that you felt embarrassed that you were there and that you felt like I should be more capable. I should be more able to do this and manage this. And why am I not? And so your coming in, I think, was like your invitation to the Lord to say, okay, God, whatever you want. Like, whatever you want here. Mm-hmm. And you know, like, I genuinely ask God, like, whatever is said in that counseling space, it is the most tangible. The counseling room to me is the most tangible expression of the Holy Spirit of any other place in my life. Mm-hmm. But just really saying, like, Lord, what is it that you need Wendy to hear? And I think what you had to walk out of that first session with, and I think what a lot of women have to walk out with, is you don't have to be strong. And you have to recognize that, like, as capable as you may be, if the Lord isn't changing it, it's because he has something for you in it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so there's so many things of, like, just sit down and just, you know, don't try, like, maybe you need to cancel some functions. Yeah. Maybe you need to not try to be, you know, Bible teacher and theology expert, all those things, you know, like, maybe you just need to be Wendy for a minute and just sit out on your back porch and, you know, we're so quick to tell God what we need, but we are so slow to be able to stop and listen.
Yeah.
And, you know, this Bible says in the counsel of many, there is wisdom. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you were getting a lot of, like, the same, like, just slow down, you know, don't cocoon yourself. Don't leave everybody out. You know, and what I love is that Monty, your husband, was really like your main.
He was.
He was maybe your only for a season, which was good. But also just having someone else objectively in your life saying, hey, Wendy, I want you to understand, like, as much as you can do right now, like, you need to be aware of your limitations. You need to be aware that, you know, today, all you need to be mindful of is taking care of yourself. What is one thing that I can do? And I remember yours was walking. You walked a lot.
Yeah, and because I wouldn't leave my house.
I know.
I was so...
She was paralyzed.
Amped, paralyzed by anxiety. So making myself go walk was the push to push me beyond because I didn't want to leave. But at the same time, it was good to be out in the fresh air.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I guess I would want for you women also to hear that when you hear Wendy talk about this, she's talking about this now from a place of strength. But when you were walking in and you were, I mean, what it required of you was to exercise a discipline. Mm-hmm. And when you were in the middle of this, like, you were so broken. And just so, and, like, that's the thing about anxiety. Like, we're so desperate that what we want more than anything else with anxiety is relief. The Christian word is peace, right?
Right.
You were so desperate for it, but you were, and with those first assignments, what you were saying was like, hey, tell me what to do. Give me something that will change it. And I'm like, Wendy, this is going to be a slow process. Like,
I say in the book, I hated that. I wanted her to fix me right away.
Yes. I'm like, Wendy, just, you got to chill for a minute. Like, you've just got to let's look at, like, day by day. Mm-hmm. Today, I want you to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Today, I want you to be mindful of your limitations, but you know, you can't do it.
Well, here's something. When I went to the Word and we talked about, the book talks about silent time, solitude time. And one of the verses that I went to in the time that you had me go and do things like that is the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These God, you will not despise. Mm-hmm. And another verse that came to me, the Lord of peace himself, the Lord of peace himself, give you peace always in every way.
Wow.
That's huge. That's how much peace that the Lord wants us to have. And I was writing all these things in this journal, all the verses after my walks, things like
that. She never did not have that journal.
but it just so happened, God, thank you, Holy Spirit, thank you, that on the day that I was writing these verses, the verse at the bottom, this journal has verses at the bottom, it said, Isaiah 26:3-4, you will keep in perfect peace the one whose mind who's steadfast, the one who trusts in you. Trust in the Lord always. He is the eternal rock. And that from that moment on, that became my verse. Right. And I have prayed it every morning into this, I think we're 5 years since maybe. I don't know, it's about 5 years. Wow. And I still would feel nervous coming in, but I was getting better and better. But you said something to me that I didn't understand at the moment, but you talked about part of what we do is we take bookshelves off the shelf. Can you just
like quickly, books off the shelf? Yeah.
Yeah, take books off the shelf. You don't take bookshelves off the shelf. Books off the shelf. Thank you.
We could do that if we were strong. So I think the metaphor that the Lord gave in that situation for you was understanding that our lives are a full, complete story. And, you know, a lot of times when we're in pain, we want to understand why we're in pain, but we're only looking at that one singular book, right? Like I'm pulling off this last book on the shelf, but it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the understanding, the metaphor, the illustration is like every season of your life, Wendy, is a complete book. Mm-hmm. And we need to be able to like take it down, appreciate it, sit with it, right? Mm-hmm. Like just calm down, like go through it. What did God teach you in that? Mm-hmm. You know, what hurt in that season? Put that one back up, pop another one down so that like, as you go through the whole story, you see the hand of God. One, you see how your story is woven together. Mm-hmm. You see that your story is not your own. But also when you get to this last book that's so painful, you can see now there's been an accumulation.
Yes, of pain.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just like, oh my goodness, I woke up one day and I didn't want to go anywhere and I was paralyzed with anxiety. It all makes sense in light of the different seasons in the books.
And it makes it not feel like a failure anymore.
That's right.
It was so beautiful because it was like, wow, I probably should have done this a lot sooner, I think is what I realized. And then I want to talk about another thing that you said. You said, after a few appointments, you asked me another question, what might Jesus be saying to you? Mm-hmm. And after I wrote that, I wrote these words, Jesus chose, I think they're your words. I don't think they were mine, but I wrote, Jesus chose weakness and limitations. Mm-hmm. And why, can you explain those words? Because they really impacted me.
Yeah, I've told Wendy that it's challenging because when you're in the session and you've asked the Holy Spirit to lead, a lot of times you don't remember your words. So I don't really remember saying that to you, but I would just, you know, I think that probably what it attaches itself to is the fact that we have a wrong prescription in our culture that we're supposed to be strong, that we're supposed to have it all together, that we're supposed to know it all, that we're supposed to, you know, I mean, I laugh that I'm supposed to run carpool and have perfect lunches, not Lunchables. And, you know, my kids are supposed to drink so much water and exercise and I'm supposed to exercise, you know, all these things. It's impossible. And like, when you look at the Savior of the world, he went to the top of a mountain every single day, dropped everything. I mean, he's saving people. He's bringing the dead to life. And all we're doing is running carpool or, whatever.
Yeah, going to work and coming home.
Yeah, I mean, it's significant, but not quite to the Jesus level. And he just would go away. And like, you know, and he chose to be the most, like, you know, the Bible says, like, he didn't have anything to attract us to him. Mm-hmm. And so I just think that there's this reminder in our weakness of like, just like, this is actually a beautiful place. Mm-hmm. And in your weakness, he is made strong, right?
Exactly.
And that's I so love good. That my favorite quote is the C.S. Lewis. I know you've heard me say it, the C.S. Lewis quote that says that in our weakness, I might butcher it, but in our weakness, he is shouting. And in our pleasures, he whispers in our ear. Mm-hmm. And that he uses pain as a megaphone to rouse a deaf world.
Right.
I love that. So like when you're hurting like you were, you can hear God, you can understand weakness differently. And you can, I think, begin to accept it and understand it's good.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you taught me that. That was really important. And then I want to go move a little bit towards the end because in our first appointment,
goodness,
I remember I could never envision being on the other side of of what was going on in my life. I could never see the hope that I would one day, I thought I could get better. I thought, you know, but I never saw that. And you said these words to me. You said, Wendy, one day you will walk this out publicly. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, I won't. No, I won't.
You're crazy, Rebecca.
I did. And, but when I got home that day, and this is a true story, I have a daily light devotional. And the verse that night, when I read it, it was morning and night, said, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, right. Philippians 1:6. More of God affirming. This is why Christian counseling, I cannot tell you how important it is to have a Christian counselor as a Christian, because they have the Holy Spirit in them just as you do. And it's ministering together.
That's right.
And God can affirm through that person that's counseling you. And so here I am. Here we are. We're sharing this story that I never, never thought I would ever be able to have praises for God for. And that's what our God does. And here's what I wrote. I believe... And this is as I was praying. This is as I was praying for people who would come. And so I'm going to look over here. We have all these cameras here, but I want to look in this one because I believe with all my heart that God arranged a divine appointment for you if you are here. We prayed for it before we began.
That's right.
And so I want to say this. I want to assure you God sees you and he hears you and he wants to be speaking to you and healing you, but you have to take time to slow down like I did.
That's right.
And I didn't want to. And so trust me right now when I invite you to say there is hope and there is an answer on the other side, but you have to do the hard work. You have to find a quiet place, be still, sit and listen. And I think that's what you taught me, that we have to do that. But I want to know, because you're a counselor, everyone's like, oh, counselors just know, but you no, have a story. And I just really wanted you to share part of your story. Cause my story's all in the book, but will you share a little bit about, that's why you can minister the way you do.
Oh, well, I would just say that to that statement, I think that the beauty of that moment of you saying yes to receiving help and you saying yes to your weakness was that you invited someone else in and you invited the Holy Spirit to speak through another person to you. And I think that I could see a hope that you couldn't see in that moment, which was really powerful and powerful to be able to pass on and now powerful to be able to do this. I mean, it's amazing. But my story, I would just say that I identify with the not wanting weakness because understanding suffering when, after we had our three girls, you know, we suffered the loss of two sons. And delivered both of them. And I just remember being in places where a lot of you women are of just, I didn't want to get out of bed. I didn't want to face the world. I would say similar to Wendy, that's why I could identify when she came in with, I don't even know what my next step should be. Like, I just want to kind of be in my bed and pull up the covers and.
And you're the counselor. That's what I think is so special about this. We all.
Yeah. And I had been counseling for many years before, you know, it wasn't like I suffered my losses. Then I went to school for counseling. I had already been doing it, but I experienced empathy differently after that. And I had to trust the Lord for certain things like, you know, God promises reconciliation. He promises restoration, but he doesn't promise that we're going to see it in the timing or in the way that we want.
Yeah. That's you know, good. Thank you, Rebecca.
And just that he is good ultimately. And even when things don't end the way that we want them to, you know, although we ended up going and adopting our son, that doesn't cure the pain of loss. You know, it's a beautiful addition,
right?
You know, just like you're right now, I think Wendy, when you're able to talk about that season of your life, like it's a beautiful picture of restoration.
Yeah. I'm really so thankful for it. And when I look at this book, as we close, I want you to hear me say that I wrote this here. This book is more almost like a workbook. It's like you don't read this book and put it down. I want to be that voice that Rebecca was for me. If you're not ready for counseling, if you don't go to counseling, or even if you do,
right.
But it just helps you walk through it like a workbook, so you can do the things that we're talking about and be able to see God's hand at work. And so, Rebecca, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Wendy.
So grateful to have you.